So this week's message is called Weed, Water, and Wait. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your name today, oh God. I pray, Lord, that this word would touch hearts this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that everything you planted within my heart this morning, God, would convey in a clear and concise manner, God, that hearts would be softened to hear your word and hear the truth of what you've planted, oh God. And I pray, Lord, for a mighty harvest in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so we are doing 4 weeks of farming, lessons from farming, right? Because we want a spiritual harvest. And the first week that we talked about was to prepare our soil. And I love the fact that we have this message because, as I shared before, Woody can relate to this. You grew up on a farm, right? Yes, over there on, in Ashby, up on, what's that? Jewett Hill. But there's a lot of work to farming. There's a lot of work to farming. It's the preparing the soil to plow and to turn over and to harrow. And so we prepare a lot of our soil before God so that he can plant the seeds within our hearts. He will work within us. I talked in preparing that we had to watch out for the three D's, the first one being doubt. When we heard the parable of Jesus sowing the seed, the first batch was cast on the rocks, and so it kind of bounced off and it wasn't received, and so our hearts need to be softened to the things of the Lord so that we can receive the things that he wants to plant within us. Doubt is the first thing that kind of deflects the things of God, right? When we're dealing with people and they doubt our testimony or doubt the things that we just want to share about God. The second deep is deep, go deep, and to turn that soil over really deep and down deep and get rid of all the rocks and all of the briars and all of the roots that might exist so the things that get planted really have room to grow and to spread out roots. And then to watch out for deceit. That is the attack of the enemy, the things of the world that would distract us from the things that we're supposed to be doing. Last week we talked about what we're going to sow and that we have to sow good seed. And from that lesson, we learned that, number one, God knows what you sow, right? There's nothing hidden from God. God knows what we're sowing. Number two, what you sow, you will get. If I want carrots, I sow carrots. If I sow carrots, I'm not going to get beans. It doesn't work that way. So the natural laws work in the spirit as well. And number three, if you sow, you will reap a harvest. But remember, there was a big if after that. If you don't give up. And so the giving up part, that's the waiting game. This is where most people give up. You know? They're going towards something and then they might get distracted. Or they give up because the waiting is too hard. So we're going to wait. And while we're waiting, there's work to be done. So there's weeding. We need to weed things out of our lives. We need to water our lives with living water. And we need to wait. So the scripture this morning is Galatians 5, verses 13. 25. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open it to that. I'm going to be reading this from the NIV this morning. Galatians 5, 13 through 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So remember a couple weeks ago we talked about, like, if you were to take a garden and mow it all down to the it's when things begin to mature that we can really see what the truth is. We're going to focus on weeding. We need to know what we're weeding out of our lives. So we've already sown. That was last week. We talked about the things that we're going to sow into our lives. We're going to now see that the fruit will become evident over time. Jesus taught in Matthew 7 that by their fruit we will recognize them. When people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So as what is planted in our spiritual gardens matures, we will begin to have fruit. And make no doubt about it, we are going to bear fruit. Good fruit? Or? No. Our Galatians passage helps us to recognize what is good fruit and what is bad. So our job is to weed out those things that are bad fruit, yes? And to encourage water and care for those that are good fruit. So if we go back to our passage, this is going to just delineate everything that's bad for us, the things that we need to avoid. So I want to read this from the Message, because I love it. All right, you ready? This is bad fruit. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes. Divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly cowardice of sin, I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Ouch. And the thing is, we have to remember that he was writing to the church. That's the church, okay? We sometimes look at, you know, we're the church. We're the ones bearing good fruit. We've got it all together. Those guys. Those people out there, they're the ones that get involved in all this stuff. But the fact remains is that even as believers, even as the church, we can fall into producing bad fruit in our lives. None of us is beyond it. But all is not lost, right? We can weed. God can prune. We can begin to bear good fruit in our lives. So here is the crop that we want to see. This is the fruit that we want to see in our lives. This again is from the Message. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity, compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitment, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. You know, the fruit that we bear shows what we've been sowing into our lives. You know, when we talked about last week that God knows what we sow, and we might try to kid ourselves, and we might try to kid others around us, and try to pretend and secretly be sowing things that nobody really knows about. But ultimately, our fruit is going to show exactly what we're sowing into our lives, regardless of what we might be trying to get ourselves into. Does your orchard look like the first list, or does your orchard look like the second list? The thing is, we do need to weed all these things out that are going to turn into bad fruit. But we do nothing out of our own ability, but by the Spirit of God. And because of Jesus, we can be made pure, clean, weeded out. Do you ever feel that it is beyond your capability to do the job of weeding in your life? It is. It is beyond your capability. That's why it feels that way sometimes. Because we're not called to do the work by ourselves, but to submit to God and allow Him to do the hard work if He allows us to. To be able to weed those things out of our lives. Because you know what? In our natural man, we want to keep all this stuff as part of how we are. It's comfortable, even if it's bad. So in Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 14, it states, "But when Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater, more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts of death, that we may serve the living God?" So it is truly God who is the master gardener, and we should welcome him to help clean our garden, right? The work is much better when done by two, especially if the other person in the pair is God. But who likes the idea of pruning? Anybody like to? Anybody been pruned lately? No? Sometimes we have to have things pruned out of our lives. I think about an apple tree. We have a couple apple trees in the backyard. And if you do not prune an apple tree, it gets kind of unruly. And the apples never truly develop because they have to have more of that nourishment that comes up. So the more you prune an apple tree, the greater the fruit. Oh, there I am again. The greater the fruit. How about, does anybody have a perennial gardens or annuals? What do you have to do to those all the time? You have to snip them. You have to take the deadheads off, that pruning, that trimming. Because if it goes to seed, the energy goes into something that you don't want it to. So that it flowers, we have to continually, constantly be pulling the deadheads off. In John 15:1-4, Jesus, the true vine, tells us, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful, like the apple tree. You already are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So pruning, as much as we don't like it, it involves removing the fruitless branches of our own lives. We sometimes take an awful lot of energy pouring the things in our own lives that are bearing no fruit for eternal purposes. It seems busy. It seems things that maybe God would like us to do. But that's because we're making decisions on our own ability, with our own minds. But it's not necessarily what God would want in our lives, in the areas where we really need to bear fruit. We remain in the vine, the source of nourishment and growth. And so this relates to the next point, which is water. We're weeding things out of our lives, and we need to water. What better water to have in our lives than living water? If we remain in the vine, then the water that is drawn up through the roots will flow into us. So we need to be attached to the true vine, right? Jesus is the true vine, and so that living water flows through him and then into us. Better than any natural source of water is a source of living water. And so maybe you know the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. She comes, and he asks her to draw water. And then he goes on to say, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Yes, sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And later in John's Gospel, Jesus teaches us that whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So how do we access living water? Well, what we talked about before, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are promised living water welling up to eternal life. And I love the image of, I was thinking about when I was reading these passages, of a geyser, you know, like old people. When you think about the pictures of a geyser coming up out of the earth and how powerful that water is and the direction that it goes, right? So living water that's welling up within us is like that. It's constantly lifting us up toward the heavens, up towards God. Think about that image, right? That's the thing. It's welling up within us just like a geyser. Anybody ever do a science experiment way back when with a carnation, a white carnation, and colored water? Right, we have this beautiful white pristine flower, and as the water is placed in the blue water, over time, that white carnation then becomes blue, drawing up this tainted colored water. The way that I am thinking of it is drawing up unclean water. So it's only through being rooted in Christ that we can draw the living water, right? We need to make sure that what we're rooted in is clean, it's of God, and not tainted by something else, like colored water. We need to prune painful stuff, but we need to water as well, and that's the refreshment in the midst of everything. We become rooted in Christ that we have living water welling up within us. So the last part is that we wait. So we're weeding. We're doing the work of weeding. We're doing the work of watering and finding nourishment and refreshment in the middle of weeding, because the weeding and the pruning is painful, but we need to be able to stay rooted in Christ that we can endure through all. In James 5:7, it says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop? Patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains." Is waiting easy? Anybody like to wait in line? Wait in traffic? Wait for an answer? Alright. Anybody ever hear of this book? Huh? Oh, the places you go. So this is the gospel according to Dr. Seuss. He talks about going to the waiting place. I'm going to share. I've actually been places where people read the whole thing to me in front of it in the middle of a speech. I'm not going to do that to you, I promise. So in the middle of waiting, or before you get to waiting, you get so confused that you'll start into race down long, wiggled roads at a breakneck pace, and grind on for miles across weirdish, wild space, headed, I hear, towards a most useless place. Wait. For people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus. Plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for the hair to grow, waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle James, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. Now, I love this. I want you to look at the people. See them at all. Do they look happy? Do they look like they're doing anything? They're just waiting. Show you all around. Now, I love Dr. Seuss, but I was tongue-in-cheek saying the gospel according to Dr. Seuss, because I believe that the waiting place does not look like this. These people are not the people of God. I don't know where they live, Whoville or something like that. But ultimately, he calls it a useless place. Not useless. It's in the waiting that God does some of the most amazing things with us. And it's active, it's not passive. You know, those people were just sitting there, bug-eyed, waiting. Looking like that. They might be waiting, but they're not waiting actively with expectation. We wait actively. We wait and we're active in prayer. We're active in reading God's word. We're active in serving the church and serving one another, because even though we might be waiting in our own lives or waiting for the harvest in our own lives, God does not tell us to sit on our butts and do nothing. We're waiting, but we're doing. We're actively waiting, because we believe, just like we read last week in Galatians 6:9, that we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's active. It's not passive. me give you two great ways to wait in the midst of everything. The first is to draw near to God. When he's alongside of you, the time of waiting is a time of sharing with God and drawing close to him and becoming closer in that relationship. It's not a place where we forget about God and turn away because we're frustrated. We draw near to God in the waiting places. James 4, 7 to 10 says, therefore submit to God. So we wait, we draw near, we submit. We need to submit the time of waiting so that God can do that work within us that needs to happen. Because resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And this is the waiting part. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So in the time of waiting, we draw near to God. That's the critical part. And submit. Submit to that weeding and pruning, the things that he's trying to do. And allow this harvesting to be developed in your life. And the second part is that we wait standing on his promises. And this is Pastor Renee's probably favorite scripture. Habakkuk 2. And I'm going to read this. This is another version from the Message. Then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. It doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. God's timing is perfect. We said last week that the harvest comes in its appointed time. We don't expect strawberries in March. They come in June. And just as in the rhythms of the natural world, God has given us a model for the spiritual world. We need to wait. God's timing is perfect. Do not grow weary in well-doing, because we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We need to fix our eyes, constantly fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, and stand firm on those promises. Even though it's slow in coming, wait. It is on its way. It will come right on time. We are guaranteed that we will see a harvest. And then we will celebrate everything that the Lord has done. I encourage you next week. I spent this whole week, probably not the whole week, but a couple of days, in developing a video to share with you. And in the process, I got to look back over the past 12 months. And do you know how much God has done in 12 months? It's amazing. I am awestruck by what God has done, the doors he's opened, the people he's reached, the positive impact we've had on this community. This little tribe of believers have done great exploits for God. And it's not over. The title of my video is It Was a Year of Beginning. It's just beginning. It's 12 months of beginning. Because there's so much more. God has so much more in store. We're going to be able to reach young kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be able to minister to families. We're going to be able to impact our community even more. And the light is going to dispel the darkness. The oppression that exists in this town and these communities around is going to be dispersed in the name of Jesus. We're going to continue to move forward. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. I hope you believe it. I hope you see it. I hope you have the eyes of faith to see it. That the harvest is coming. And next week we're going to talk about that too. We're going to talk about the harvest and celebrate. I encourage you to come back. Come back next week. Bring as many people as you can. And let God do the work, right? We bring people in and then God does the rest. The Holy Spirit does the rest. It's not up to us. We don't save anybody. Only God can save. Only God can do something. And we need to get those people around where God is. With us, Holy Spirit is here. Two or three are gathered, like I said before. So let me pray for you. Send you off. Hope you're encouraged today. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity to gather in your name this morning, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that you can make a difference in our lives, Lord, that no matter what we sown into our lives, God, if we are bearing fruit that is not of you, oh God, that today we can make a difference in that, oh Lord, that we can change the way that we're sowing into our lives, God, so that the fruit that we bear is fruit that lasts, fruit that has eternal merit, oh God, fruit that shows everything about the Spirit of God and nothing of our fleshly man, oh God. I just pray, Lord, this is an opportunity for us to make things right. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless those that have gathered. Continue to encourage them as they walk with you, as they draw near to you. If they're in a place of preparing, oh God, I pray, Lord, that you continue to help them work that soil, to remove those things they need to remove and soften their hearts, God. And if they're a place of sowing into their lives what they're sowing, I pray, God, that you enable them to sow good things, good seed, oh Lord. And in this time of weeding and watering, God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them as you do the work of weeding and pruning in their lives, God, that they would know that they can stick their feet into the living water and become nourished and renewed in this process. I thank you, Lord, that your promises are that if we will reap a harvest, we do not give up. So, God, we stand steadfast. We stand steadfast on your promises today, God. We're so thankful that you're a delivering God, that you're a redeeming God, that you're a sustaining God, that you have spared lives, oh God. And, Lord, we just give you thanks today, God. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name.